Jim Saxon, welcome.
Thank you very much, Julia.
You have a passion to rescue old lighting, historical, often theater lighting, give it a new life and a new home. So when and how did your fascination with lighting itself begin?
Well, it actually was just kind of a natural thing. It seems like it just came upon me. And I actually, for better or for worse, started probably very early teens where I really realized that I was enjoying this. And actually at Paramount Theater, I was an usher there. So I was involved in a lot of the taking care of the premises and all that, changing all those bulbs in those old theater marquees.
And you got it
fair
and
square. And up the side of the building and down the side of the building. And that was with me with my backpack full of light bulbs.
Oh, my goodness. So, and all the interior pictures and such as well.
Yes,
you were,
right.
You were the guy.
And some of them followed me. I mean, it followed me years later, you know, after that theater was torn down. People didn't know I was connected with it. And I get this call out of the blue, and they have this chandelier that was a mess. And they thought we might be interested in it because they knew I was involved in a big home construction.
So then working up close and personal familiarized you with the fixtures back in the day and working in the theaters and all. What hooked you on finding and fixing them up? When did the hunt begin for you?
Probably that came along kind of naturally, too. I've always been interested in antiques, always been interested in the historical aspect of the city itself. And so if I could find something that looked like it could be restored and I thought it could become usable and had a place to put it rather than store it like I have some stored now. And so, but it's just developing an eye for, you know, how they've been used in the past and how they can be used now today.
When you come upon historic fixtures, do they tend to come in whole batches, as in a theater full or a lobby full or a hotel full?
Well, it can come that way. Normally, since now there's not as much demolition as what there was, let's say, like in the 70s when they were tearing down the whole city there at one time.
Okay.
You know, the library went, the theaters were going, and all those things generate fixtures that are very unusual. And some of them still pop up different places. People have them in their garages. They bought them at an auction, thought they were neat, and didn't have a clue as what to do with it. Little by little in projects that I was doing, I'd think, oh, gosh, this would work there, and that would work here. And so I just kind of melded into it.
How do you recognize them when it's a pile of junk?
Well, a lot of times I've been led to that particular spot, you know. And in some cases, I was involved in a really big project 15 years or so ago, and I actually went to auction houses like in Atlanta and Chicago and the salvage yards in Chicago and Atlanta and Washington, D.C. and New York, where you can really find big, important fixtures, you know. I've been fortunate to be able to do that. And some of them, when we got them, had a lot of repair to be done to them, but they were worth it. You just have to evaluate that in your own mind, you know, what you're going to use it for. And
if it can be.
Yeah, and fixed. If it can be, correct, yeah.
Is local history also one of your longtime passions, or is it a byproduct of your lighting and structure?
Oh, no, no. Addiction? I love Fort Wayne history. I've got all kinds of stuff on it. Literature and pamphlets put away, you know. And I recognize some of that lighting, you know, that's actually there. I mean, I was just looking at something last night that had to do with the old library. And I thought, oh, my gosh, look at, there's a couple really nice fixtures sitting out there outside, you know, in the exterior of that library.
And that you would recognize sure, if you
and who knows where they've gone, yeah. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
And another one is Southside High School. I mean, they have beautiful iron urns and fixtures that date back into the 20s or whenever that was built. They need to be kept restored.
Has the history of Fort Wayne movie theaters hooked you as well?
Oh, yeah. Yes, 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 yes.
Well, let's talk about the local hunting ground.
Okay.
Why is Fort Wayne a good source for this kind of lighting, these kind of fixtures in this era of historic stuff?
Well, it kind of goes in waves. Now, right now, there's not as much available because, as I said, there's not been that much, you know, demolition and things being either restored or updated, remodeled or whatever. But, you know, when they were just doing all that renovation to the embassy and the old Indiana Hotel, you know, I was so happy to see that they kept those fixtures that were already in there because they were put in there at the time that was built, all part of the design. if you really look at them, you go, oh my gosh, they're amazing. And when that was built, electricity hadn't even been around probably 30 years before that. For people to get that involved in design is amazing to me.
So part of it might be electricity growth during that time period.
Right. And it depends. If somebody has a bunch of things stored in their garage, like me, and they pass away, and all that stuff becomes available, you know. And all of a sudden things surface at different times. The Knoll Mansion, it was on Fairfield, it was demolished, and the gentleman had procured particular items from that house at some point, you know, and they just surfaced all of a sudden. Didn't have a clue that's where they were. So bought some gorgeous couple fixtures from them and restored them, and I remembered them when they were actually in the house. So
that's
special. It's fascinating, you know, and it's special.
Yes. How far gone can a piece be and still be able to be restored?
It can be pretty far gone. I'll tell you, I found the huge fixture that hung in the Paramount Theater, and it was laying in pieces on a dirt floor in a warehouse, and it was just arms, and it was all dusty and dirty, and nobody would have had a clue what that heap of junk was if I hadn't. They just happened to call me, and they didn't know I had any connection even with it. And they said, we have this old chandelier. I go in there and look at it, recognize exactly what it was.
Oh, my goodness. Was it like meeting an old friend?
Well, it was. I'll tell you what. I mean, I was, you know, all choked up, actually, because sure. I really got into that, you know. And the glass was all gone. It had big glass leaves on it and all this, and that was all gone. And so I was fortunate to be working on a project at that time that we were able to send that whole fixture, box it up, send it to Utah, and it was out there being restored for a year. And they remade the glass. I designed the glass petals back, drew them up so they know what they were, did them like blueprints of them and the whole fixture, and, you know, rewired it. It had been painted with like gold paint at one point. The actual fixture was out of silver leaf, which is something you hardly ever see anymore.
Indeed.
You know. So it's a special fixture, and we were able also to find the four side candelabra or sconces that matched it. So where it's hanging, it's just like it was hanging in the theater lobby originally. Yeah. It would have been a goner. You know, there was something happening there.
Yes, it was calling your name, or you were on the hunt for it.
And I have other fixtures that we haven't used that I've gotten storage from that theater also. My goal was to procure all of the fixtures out of that theater, but I haven't quite accomplished that yet.
Well, good luck. If anybody can do it, it sounds like you are the hunter.
Yes.
What kind of a team does it take to repair and restore one of these old abandoned fixtures?
Well, for the size of some of the ones that I've worked with, depends on if there's some arms that have to be recast. And in this case, this particular one, the glass had to be all redone, and it looked like French Lalique petal. To reproduce that, it's not something you just go down to a local glass company right. And say, okay, we need to do this. So it can take a team if it's a real important big fixture, chandelier type thing. Or I do lots of things where a single person works on them and restores them, you know.
And there are people right in town that are
absolutely
there to help you.
Excellent
on your ones. Quest.
Yeah. That's what they specialize in. So.
And so this is actually, well, of course, it's their forte, but it's also them being able to work on a little piece of the past that you have unearthed.
Yeah, it's something that's real special.
Fair and square, would you say that you are or can be addicted to this whole process of finding and rescuing and restoring these wonderful lighting fixtures?
Oh, yes. I go through periods of time where it hits me harder than what it does other times, you know, and especially if I'm in, let's say, a salvage yard or something like that and go nuts. Where to stop me is the worst thing, you know. So just beware.
That's a good point. Okay, once these fixtures are restored, how do you find them good homes?
Well, normally, now some of them I have restored ahead of time, but normally I'm already in the project and the home is being developed, or it's an older home that we're redoing. They're changing the overall look of the property. And then there's some fixtures I'll see that I'll say, okay, this one I'll take a chance on, you know, because I'll find some place for it for sure. And it just seems like it comes along. And I know lots and lots of people, and if I find something that's really neat, I'll give them a call and say, hey, I just found something that I think you would be really interested in. And I'll know their house and everything. And I'll say, it'll work good in this room or that room or whatever.
It's almost like an adoption or a placement agency that way. Because
it is.
You,
yeah, and
you
I want them to take care of them too.
That's right. So, and you do have
absolutely.
An input. You have a say on, if you might not ask for a resume or references, but you do make sure that the light is going to be happy in its new home with its new owners.
Absolutely. And I've packed some of these Paramount Theaters. theater fixtures still that I haven't used. And I keep thinking where I'm going to place these. I want to make sure that after I'm gone, that they're going to take care of it and they're going to know what it was rather than sending it out of the state or city someplace and nobody has a clue what it is. I want them to use it and have a story with it. You know, that's what it's all about.
It's sort of Match.com versus Ancestry.com versus LoveLighting.com.
Yeah, like that. It is.
Well, it's a great passion that you have, and I'm so happy that you could share it with us. So before we let you go, Jim, I am wondering, what part of the rescue mission is most exciting to you, the hunt or the adoption?
Oh, I think the adoption is because then I know whatever home it has gone into or public space, that it's going to be appreciated there for a long, long period of time. And some of those fixtures naturally are going to get thrown out somewhere along the line, you know. And it's just kind of a weird passion of mine to see that somebody continues on enjoying them.
Jim Saxon is a Fort Wayne native with a big passion for historic lighting rescue. Jim, thanks so much for taking time to join us today, and shine on.
Okay, thank you. I will try to.